kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. Welcome to the School of Divine Revelation, where we are focusing on the person and the character of God. And the purpose of this study is very straightforward. The bigger God gets in your eyes, the tinier your mountains will become. God is our life. God is our heritage. We established this, you know, in our previous studies. And it is as we know Him, as we grow in our knowledge of God, that we walk in the fullness of redemption benefits. That's how God is going to use us for His glory and be honored and glorified through us and in His church. Amen. Welcome. My name is Brother Ferdinand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are, and thank you for how you are just unveiling yourself and your character to us, Lord, as we engage your word. Please continue to do so by your spirit and carve these truths upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, praise God. So we've been looking at divine attributes, and we want to look further at some of these other divine attributes. Because remember, we established that our God is many-sided. God is not one-sided God. He is balanced. There are multiple divine attributes. And the more we understand these divine attributes, the more we can relate with Him and with these attributes. And then these attributes reveal His character. They tell us what God is like. And when you know who He is and what He's like, then we can fellowship with Him. Then we can walk with Him. Then we can work with Him. Then He can be glorified in and through us, because we are not ignorant of His person. We are people that He has brought to the revelation of His character. The Bible says in Psalm 103, I believe verse 7, it says, God made known His ways to Moses and then His acts to the children of Israel. So you see, Moses knew the ways of God, not just the miracles. He knew the ways. He knew the modus operandi of God. He knew how God's character and God's ways. But the people of Israel, many of them just saw the miracles. And interestingly, those that just saw the miracles, they perish in the wilderness. That's what happens. If all we are seeking, and unfortunately, this is the case in the church today for the most part, we are seeking God's power. We are seeking His acts to solve our problems. And there's nothing wrong with that. God does answer prayer. God wants to intervene in our varied and difficult situations. He wants to send us help from His sanctuary. But if all we do is just seek miracles or look for bread or look for solutions, and we don't grow to consider the character of God, the person with whom we have to do, then it means we don't have the knowledge of God, because we don't know His ways. God lamented concerning the children of Israel, said, they have not known my ways. They are a people that always err in their heart. And you see, when we don't know God's ways, then we will walk in our own ways, which I'm sure you remember from Isaiah chapter 53. That was the trouble with human beings. It says, all of us like sheep, we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And once we did that, we strayed away from God. And He took the sacrifice of God's only begotten Son to bring us back. So continue to meditate on these divine attributes, the divine omniscience, the omnipresence of God, the fact that God is everywhere. Do you know that that truth alone is sufficient to establish us in holiness? Because I know it's inside my head So I can't be lost in and be thinking and be plotting evil inside my head. And then I say, okay, no, well, God didn't see that. If he sees inside my head, he knows what is going on in my thoughts. And then I can't close the door and start doing something evil because I know that God is there. He is present. I can't, you know, go on the internet and I'm doing something or hide evil inside my digital devices, maybe my mobile phone or my laptop or tablet, and then I lock it with a password. If other people don't know, the omniscient God, surely he knows. And once God knows, that's all that matters. Even if people don't know, the person who matters most knows. And then, by the way, of course, the devil, who is the author of that kind of lifestyle, he also knows. So we don't want to, these divine attributes, if we internalize them, meditate on them, like David, then we realize that there is no place we can go to that it will not be present and all sufficient. And then don't forget that these divine attributes also work on our behalf. Because if you know that is everywhere, that automatically means that you cannot be stranded in life. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? We will be looking at God and be looking at the fact that he is unapproachable, looking at the fact that our God is, immortal. But let's begin with the fact that our God is a jealous God. And this basically means that he tolerates no rivals. He does not tolerate any rival. Our God is such a great God that he does not tolerate rivals. What do I mean by this? We need to read it where he told this attribute to the Israelites. He revealed this attribute to the Israelites in the book of Exodus. And Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to read it from verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, this was when he brought the law on Mount Sinai. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Note the introduction. I am the Lord your God. I'm the one that manufactured you. And then I came and brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of the land of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. See, this is righteous now. I don't know what else is God going to say. Okay, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I gave you life and I've delivered you. Now go and serve other gods. You see, it doesn't make sense. You see, the claims of Almighty God over our lives are legitimate. They are legitimate. I'm the one that did all this. Once upon a time, you did not exist. I gave you life. And then you sinned. I came and died and purchased you. By creation, you are mine. By redemption, now you are mine. I paid the price for you. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me and as part from me. Is that unrighteous? This is the correct thing. You see, look, one of the things that must settle in our hearts is that whatever God tells us is the best there can be. For example, later God said, honor your father and your mother. What is God supposed to say? Curse them? See, there can be no better way than God's way. Once we come to this conclusion, our lives will begin to flow in the direction of honoring God, because we know that his instructions are given in love, they are given in wisdom, and they are given for our good. Then he says in verse 4, he says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Now, what verse 6? But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Remember, we saw in the last one, he said, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. Now, you are seeing those two things in play. He said, I'm a jealous God. I visit the iniquity of, the fathers on the children and all that. And then he says, I show mercy to thousands of generations. of those who love me and keep my word. You can see the two side by side in God. So when God says he's a jealous God, what does he mean by that? You know, I heard the story of one of the popular talk shows in the world. And she was saying, because she was basically brought up in church, she was going to church as a youngster. And then one day the preacher preached a message, and the message said that God is a jealous God. And then, you know, she now says, oh, God is jealous. God is jealous of me. Why can't God be jealous of me? And that began her genesis of drifting away from God, because she did not understand the doctrine of the divine jealousy. What is the divine jealousy? The jealousy of God, you see, first of all, you know, God is the owner of heaven and earth. He is the creator of heaven and earth. And he didn't lose his power to create after he created the universe. In fact, scientists tell us that you now have what they call the multiverse. They believe there are many other universes beyond the known universe, because scientists have not been able to get to the edge of the universe. They don't know where it ends. What I'm telling you is a scientific fact. Of course, it makes sense that you cannot know where the creation of an infinite God ends. Hallelujah. Omnipotence plus omniscience equals unlimited potential, unlimited creativity. So you cannot get to the end of what he created. That's why you see some of these scientists who say there is no place like heaven. There is no place like God. The question is, where did you check? We have not even gotten outside of our Milky Way galaxy. In fact, we've not gotten out of our solar system. The farthest we have gone is Mars. There is no journey. No journey has taken science and scientists outside our solar system. It has not been done. And our solar system, our sun is just one star in one corner of the Milky Way galaxy of hundreds of billions of stars. Can you imagine that kind of, that size of one galaxy? And then you now have billions of these galaxies created by our almighty infinite God. Wow. What an awesome God. Now, so a God who created all that and owns all that, he will know, how can he be jealous of you? What do we have that God is going to be jealous over? But you see, the divine jealousy is the righteous jealousy of God, possessive watchfulness of God over what rightfully belongs to him. Let me give you an example. Imagine that you are married and you are a man and you don't have a sense of possessive watchfulness over your spouse, over your wife, over your husband. Is it okay to be jealous? There is a measure of jealousy that everybody possesses over anything that is important to you. And God is jealous over us, not jealous of us. He's jealous over us, concerning us. Are you following that now? Because we are precious. We are made in his image. If a check has your signature, you're going to guard it jealously. But this is more than the divine, more than your human signature. You carry the DNA of Almighty God. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. Why should he allow such a priceless, precious, you know, personality to just go do whatever you like without any sense of jealousy? Do you know that jealousy is the proof of love? If you say you love, but you are not jealous, you don't have any concern about what you say you love. That is not love. That is not love. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 8. Song of Solomon chapter 8. I'm reading it from verse 6. Song of Solomon chapter 8 verse 6. And let me read it here from the NIV. He said, place me like a seal over your heart. This is the beloved and the lover talking. He said, place me as a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. He says the jealousy of love is unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. You see, the divine jealousy is the jealousy of love. Is the passionate, you know, protective watchfulness over that which is priceless and precious to God. That's why God is jealous of his glory. He will not share his glory with anybody, because who qualifies to take the glory that belongs to the Almighty? And God will not share you with anybody, because who qualifies to receive the passion of your heart, if not the one that was so passionate about us that he gave his life on the cross? You see, the divine jealousy is righteous, is holy. The jealousy of God is holy. It's not a wrong attribute. Our understanding of the character of God is very important. Otherwise, we are going to attribute unrighteousness to divine character. We think that jealousy, how can God be a jealous God? What kind of thing? Well, anyway, let's be worshiping him. No, we will attribute unrighteousness to the wrath of God. What kind of wrath is that? He's a jealous God. He's angry. No, you're not following the point. The anger, we are going to study these things in detail, because we have a one-sided view of God in the church today. And this is not correct. This thing is producing a generation of believers who are not balanced, who are taking God for granted. That's why there is no fear of God inside the church, because we don't know the person we are worshiping. And unfortunately, many of our preachers don't preach these things because they think it will drive away the people. I don't know whether we want them in our churches or we want them in heaven. When some people say, my church is the fastest growing church in town, I normally ask them, I say, by which register? Because, you know, we are keeping our own registers down here, but heaven also has its own register. So our balanced revelation of who God is will change us. It will bring revival to the church. Glory to the name of Jesus Christ. So the jealousy of love is unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. And then in verse 7, it says, many waters. Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse 7. It said, many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. Hallelujah. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned. You are too precious to God for God to allow you to go where you like and do whatever you like. And if God does not have any kind of jealousy over us, it is proof that he does not love us. Anything that you don't have a measure of jealousy over, you don't love that thing. That thing is not important to you. Oh, glory to Almighty God. So you read this scripture also in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. Deuteronomy 4, 24, 6, 15, that our God is a jealous God. And we also find that in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2. When Joshua was going to, you know, just before he died, he told the children of Israel, he said, look, you people, choose the person that you are going to serve. Whether the gods that your father served, you know, on the other side, or you are going to serve Jehovah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They said to Joshua, we will serve God. Joshua said, stop. Are you sure you are going to serve God? This person that you say you are going to serve, he is a jealous God. And he's not going to tolerate your nonsense. He's not going to tolerate the... So, you know, Joshua said to the people, he said, you are not able to serve God. You can't serve him. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. Because if you now forsake the Lord your God and you serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. See what Joshua is telling them. Joshua said, make a choice today who you will serve. They say, we are going to serve God. Joshua said, are you sure of what you are saying? Because this person you say you want to serve, he is not, you need to be clear-minded. It's better you go and serve something else than you claim to be serving him, and then you are committing idolatry, and you have another God somewhere you are serving. He will not pardon your wickedness, your rebellion. And then after he has done you good, he will now turn around and destroy you. I don't want that to happen to you. Choose. They say, we will serve God. Joshua said, okay, you have made the choice to serve the Lord your God. But I told you about his character. I told you the way he is, so that you can focus. He's the worthy one. And he's not going to share you or share your affection. Can you imagine a wife who loves the husband so much that he doesn't care whether she is sharing him with other people around town? What kind of love is that? Or a husband who loves the wife, vice versa. No, that's no longer love. Oh, glory to God. But do you know, hallelujah, do you know that the divine jealousy will also work on your behalf? Huh? See, if God didn't create the world and he will not be jealous over what does not belong to him. If Satan created somewhere or some people, then God will not be jealous over that. It's his property. Let him rule it if he can create it. So, listen to this part. The divine jealousy will work on your behalf. Hi! Do you know that when you know what the Bible says in the book of Zechariah? In the book of Zechariah, you know what God told them? He said, anybody who touches you, touches the apple of my eyes. Can you imagine that? He said, anybody who touches you is sticking his finger. The Living Bible said in that scripture that anybody who touches you is sticking his finger in Jehovah's eyes. In Zechariah chapter 1 verse 14, God said, I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion. I'm very angry with it. His jealousy over Israel was what brought restoration. That jealousy arose on their behalf. He said, where are those people that dealt with my people? Where are they? I'm going to teach you a lesson. How could you do that to my people? Simply because I was angry with them. So you see, when God is jealous over you, anything and anybody who touches you is playing with fire. Listen, Moses one day was minding his business, and then Aaron and Miriam, they began to rebel. Are you the only man of God here? God has spoken through all of us. We are all servants of God. What would you think you are? And you know, the Moses they were talking about didn't say anything. You know what happened? The Bible says the glory of God suddenly appeared. Can you imagine? They called Moses and then God showed up. What? Then God said, the three of you, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, the three of you, enter into the tabernacle. The three of them got into the tabernacle. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God stood at the door. God stood at the door of the tabernacle. God blocked the only way out. And then he said, you, Aaron and Miriam, stand forward. They stepped forward. Then God began to talk to them. He said, if there is a prophet in this, your place here, I talk to him, I speak to him in every other way I choose, in a vision, in a dream, in a revelation. But my servant Moses is not like that. I speak to him face to face, mouth to mouth. Then God asked Aaron and Miriam, he said, why were you not afraid to open this, your mouth, and speak against Moses? Why? You were not afraid? You were. I'm the one doing the stammering just for you to understand the anger. God said, you were not afraid. Whoop! The Bible said the glory of God left. Miriam became a leper from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. She was leprous. What? Then Aaron began. You know why Aaron didn't become a leper? It's because of the high priest. His high priest. God respected his office. He said, if I make you leprous, I will create problem for these Israelites. Let me leave you for now. Well, I will teach you a lesson here. So now, you know what happened next? They now turned to Moses. Moses, please pray. Then Moses began to pray. Say, God, heal my sister. God said, stop. She's your sister, but she shouldn't mess up with you. Don't you know that anybody who is calling you now is calling me? Put her outside. Put her outside the camp for 7 days. And then after 7 days, bring her back. My brothers and sisters, this story I'm telling you happened. Miriam had to be locked outside for 7 days. And then eventually, at the end of that, I believe God showed mercy. And then she was restored. They continue with their journey. What is happening here is divine jealousy over a man responding on the man's behalf, even when the man didn't say anything. As they were complaining against Moses, Moses fell on his face. The man they are talking about is the meekest man in all the earth. But divine jealousy was fighting his battles. Look, when you honor the divine attributes, they will work on your behalf. Anybody who touches you, he told them in the book of Zechariah, anybody who touches you, touches the apple of my eyes. Living Bible said, the person is sticking his finger into Jehovah's eyes. Can you imagine? The apple of your eye is the pupil of your eye. Can you imagine somebody sticking his finger into Jehovah's eyes? That is the height of insolence. And you can be sure it cannot be tolerated. Glory to Almighty God. So we have been looking at the divine jealousy. Our jealous God. Our jealous God. Some people don't like it. They say, how can you say God is jealous? But this is character. This is revealed in scripture. It's revealed in scripture. And it's a righteous character that we should be jealous over the presence of God that we carry. Hallelujah. I said you should be jealous. You are carrying Jehovah inside your heart. That you should be jealous about the love of God that is so precious. You don't want to sacrifice it. The presence of God that is so priceless. You should guard that presence jealously. We should be jealous over the truths of scripture and not allow anybody to come and start changing the word of God, you know, where we are present. We should be jealous over the glory of God in our generation. We should be jealous over the harvest of the nations. The people of the world are waiting. People that Jesus died for. We should be jealous over the souls that are going to hell. This is what happens when the divine jealousy possesses our heart. We will be zealous for the glory of God. Oh, blessed be God forevermore. Brothers and sisters, these things are very important. I know that this is not popular, but this is not a popularity context. I want to know God in my generation. And then through me, that Jehovah will be revealed to this, you know, world that he loved and gave his son for. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. So we have seen the divine jealousy, and we have seen that this jealousy is not arbitrary. It doesn't mean that there is something you have that God is jealous about and he wants to take from you. No, 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 no. Don't forget, he's the author and the source of everything. It is a manifestation of God's zealous, passionate possessiveness and watchfulness of the glory, the honor, and the worship that rightfully belong to him. And as we honor the divine jealousy, it will work on us. Look at Abraham. Abraham, somebody came and took Abraham's wife, Abimelech. Pharaoh also did it, and God did the same thing. Abimelech took Sarah and went away. In the night, God went to Abimelech and said, Abi, you are a dead man. Abimelech said, what did I do, sir? He said, you took my friend's wife. I'm going to kill you now. He said, sir, he's the one. He said, this is his sister. I said, I know. Just keep quiet there. Tomorrow in the morning, you better get her back. If I come back tomorrow night, I won't be having this conversation with you. Hey, Abimelech woke up in the morning. He was shaking. What's the matter? Divine jealousy was fighting Abraham's battle. You see, when I hear some man of God and they are threatening people, I'm wondering, I say, are you a servant of God? Did God call you? I tell people, I said, Brother Ferdinand, I try to mind my business, but don't persecute me and harass me when I've not done anything to you. In fact, when people offend me, there are some people that have offended me deeply. I pray for them. I pray for them because one particular brother took money from me and disappeared. I pray for him. I say, God, don't destroy him. Please, 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 Father, please spare him. Have mercy on him. Because I know that kind of thing he did, jealousy is already working against him. And without the mercy of God, he will be destroyed. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, open our eyes to your character. And Father, help us to be so committed to you, to so walk with you, that divine jealousy will fight our battles. Divine jealousy will represent us in the issues of life. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. And all the praise and all the glory and honor that belongs to you, we ascribe to you and to you alone. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. Share this message and let's begin a revolution of the knowledge of God in His church. Bye bye.
Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.